God, I pray that this morning you would give me, that you would give everyone here an attentive spirit, that we would tune in and listen. And God, I pray that you would give us receptive minds and hearts, that we would be teachable, that we would be open to hearing about ways that we can change, or that we would be open to creative ideas that might make a difference in how we're living our life, because we want to be found faithful, Lord. We are so thankful for all you have done for us. We're so thankful that you love us, and we know that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price, and we want to faithfully respond to you, God, and that all we are, all we have, all we can do can be lived and used and exercised to your glory, for your purposes, for your will. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, sometimes when you talk about giving of your time, giving of yourself, giving of your money, sharing, sometimes we talk about terms of being willing. And sometimes we talk in terms of being ready. And sometimes we talk in terms of fulfilling duty. Today I want to talk about it in terms of eagerness. Do you ever get eager to do something? Anybody eager for lunch? Yeah, okay. Sometimes people get eager, you know, like some of they see nice weather and they get eager to get out on the golf course. So there's the people that are eager for the next episode of Lost or something. You know, eagerness knows no bounds, okay? Well, maybe it does. When's the last time you thought about, I sure hope there's a sign-up list at church today because I'm eager to do something? Or I sure hope they don't forget to get out the offering plates because I'm eager to get involved. You know, when I was a kid, as you know, if you've been here a while, I have a traumatic pastor's kid background. And so I've heard my dad preach and seen my dad up in front of many a congregation. And something stick from childhood. And I remember one time as a kid, I couldn't have been more than like 10 years old. And I remember, and this is, I'm sure, there's some old preachers in the room right now. We won't point at them, but there are a few. I've talked to them before. They identified themselves before they came in. But so they'll know this. They've probably done this before. But my dad, I remember one time he got up in front of a church, and it was a revival meeting going on at the church. Anybody know what revival meetings are? Okay. And it's sort of like old-fashioned tent meetings in the building, okay? And my dad stood up, and he said, it's offering time, and I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight for the offering. And, you know, that was new. They're going to stand for the offering. He goes, now I'd like you to gently reach up to the person in front of you and take their wallet out of their pocket. And then I'd like you to open that wallet and give like you've always wanted to. That might work. Some of you might be eager to do that, especially if you knew it was coming, because you could plan your wallet appropriately, right? But I think there is a genuine kind of eagerness that says, I understand that who I am and what I have belongs to the Lord. In fact, even in the introductory comments here, as I've said some of these things, from my perspective up here, I see some of you nodding your heads already, because I know Valley is filled with people who understand this idea. And so really what I want to talk about today and think about today is very practical. I know that giving is part of the Christian life. I know Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave. If I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to be a giver. And I'm ready to, and I'm willing to. What I'd really like is to be eager to. First service, Gary Franklin, he's always up here and he's always got a Bible or two in different languages. And he had an Italian Bible today and he goes, the word in the Italian Bible for eager combined readiness and pronto. Like, I'm ready and I'm ready now. That's kind of what eager is. I can hardly wait, maybe is a good way to talk about eagerness. And in these first five verses of 2 Corinthians 9, there are just a few key phrases that I think that if we spend a little time looking at them, they give us some hints for what might make us not just willing, not just ready, but eager. Okay? So let me read these five verses to you as you follow along. Paul, writing to the Corinthian Christian, says this: "There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them into action. But I am sending the brothers," and I listened to Mike's sermon this week on the podcast. Those of you here last week, Mike talked about the brothers, Titus and the Brothers. It's a new band, okay? "I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident." Is it just me, or does Paul kind of come off passive-aggressive sometimes? I don't know. You know, you made a promise. I've been boasting about the promise. You are going to keep it, right? I'm sending some people to check you out because I wouldn't want you to be ashamed. You know, this sounds like it was written by Ray Romano's next door mom or whatever, that on, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond or something. Anyway, he says, verse 5, "So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangement for the generous gift you had promised. And then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given." Well, that's quite a mouthful for five verses, but let's get some hints that would help us be eager in our generosity, eager in our selflessness. The first idea I would like to talk about is this eagerness to serve. What makes us eager to serve? And suggest to you that when you understand that your giving and your selflessness and your generosity is service to the Lord and service to His people, that helps you be eager. You know, sometimes we're not eager to let go of something, but when we understand this is for the Lord, this is for real people, that feeds our eagerness. In verse 1 and 2, Paul says, "I don't need to write to you about being willing to serve. I know you're eager to serve. You are eager to do this service to the Lord and to His people." You know, I guess what I'm trying to say is this, is when the Lord's work, and when needs have names and faces, it's much easier to care. One of the things I've noticed is that eagerness is kindled by caring. I don't know about you, but I suffer sometimes from what they call compassion deficit. Or compassion overload. Because there's no shortage of things to give to. Have you noticed this? I mean, I can fill a wastebasket. You know, if you, heaven forbid that you are generous on one occasion, you will be able to fill a wastebasket with junk mail for the rest of your life. You know, and there'll be about all kinds of things you've never heard of, things you didn't even know there was a problem there. You didn't even know there was a there. And you become strung out and tired, and it just becomes like this big nameless, faceless need that's draining your essence. And a couple Sundays ago, when we had that tornado that ripped through Minneapolis, and you know, it's one thing to say, "Oh yes, there was a tornado in North Minneapolis," but when I think my friends Jonathan and Christina, their houses were messed up in that tornado. When there's a name and a face and a connection, it's much easier to care. Right? Joplin's a little further away. But when, you know, that might just be part of the nameless, faceless needs of the world hovering and asking for more from us. But when Frank and Christy Bouster or the Doms, when people like that say, we're from Missouri, we know people there, we have friends whose lives were destroyed in 10 seconds. And we, your friends, we want to fill a truck with supplies and things to take down to there. I don't know about you, but it's easier to care. Suddenly, I do want to go to the grocery store and buy some stuff and put it in a truck, because it's not just a need, it's the Lord's people. It's people in need. It's names. It's faces. And I want to respond. And so, the principle that our eagerness to give is kindled by a sincere desire to help others. That's a principle we need to get in our mind. You know, and sometimes we don't have all the answers. We can't help. We can't do everything. But we can do something. You know, just this week, there's some people that are facing some big challenges. And I said, I don't know how to fix any of those challenges, but I can clean a garage, and I can go buy a gift card for supper at Applebee's, or I can, there's a whole bunch of things I can do, and those simple things I can do might help you not have to worry about those, and you can focus on the big stuff right now. See, and why would you want to do that? It's because care is kindled. When I pick up the acts of prayer on the back tables, or I get them on the email, I'm in the Hope the Hope Network prayer emails that come out from the church. And, you know, okay, I know you think I'm the pastor, so that when I get that email, that I'm probably doing something holy, like, yes, I see the prayer list. I've been waiting for that to come because I've been on my knees in the prayer chapel waiting for this list to arrive. You know, I'm just like a lot of people. You get that email and you see, here's all these prayer requests. And you go, okay, there's 40 more things to pray about. 40 more things to pray about. But I've noticed that as I pray, they stop being nameless, faceless needs. They start becoming people I actually care about. And care is kindling and welling up inside me. And the more I care, the quicker I am to give of myself to help meet a need. Maybe that's why the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Christians in Colossae, said that they should devote themselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And I'll tell you, early in my Christian life, when I read that verse, I thought that it says something like this. You know there's lots of needs. You see, you're watchful, you see there's lots of needs. And you should be thankful, so make sure you devote yourselves to pray. You know, watch for things to pray about. Watch for things to be thankful about and be devoted to prayer. It's changed over the years for me. You know what I think this verse means? I think this verse means pray so you can see. See, my wife had this troubled look on her face. She's like, I bare my soul and tell you how I misunderstood that verse. And she's down there going like, what a dumb way to take that verse. And I just gave you the right, then I told you, but later I came to this understanding, and she looks at me like, duh. I have to keep reminding her that my sermons go over better when she doesn't yell, ha! Anyway, we devote ourselves to prayer because it's in the act of praying that we start understanding this is a need. This is a real person. This is a real place. This is a real situation. And the more we pray, the more we care. And the more we care, the more eager we are to give. You want to be eager about giving and sharing and serving? Here's how to kindle it within you. Care. Pray. Pray to be more caring. That's a dangerous prayer. Because the more you care, the more you're going to give. Second thing I'd like us to look at is this idea that Paul talks about, he hints to in these verses, that when one of us is generous and eager, that's contagious. That enthusiasm for serving and giving becomes contagious. He says, your enthusiasm has stirred most of them into action. He says, I know about your enthusiasm and your eagerness. And I, in fact, I've been bragging about you to the Macedonians. And he says, not only, you know, they didn't just go, wow, those Corinthians must be cool. He said, no, their response was actually bigger than you think. Not only are they glad to hear about it, but they are following in your footsteps. Your enthusiasm and eagerness has caused them to be enthusiastic and eager. Generosity is something that you catch. It's more often caught than taught. You see somebody do it and you say, I want a little bit of that. You know, in our church family, there are a number of very active givers. This morning, I sort of made Ted Tellman blush. He was right there in the front row, and Ted is the guy that gave the communion meditation today. And I'll tell you something. Ted, I think, is a leader in compassion. I honestly can't think of any one of you ever having a need that if it came across the prayer line, or came, I can't imagine that he wouldn't be at the forefront calling me saying, what are we going to do for them? How are we going to get involved? And my response is never like, calm down, Ted. My response is, that is inspiring to me. I think, I want to be like that. I want to be quick to help. It's contagious. Have you seen somebody that's quick to help? Don't you admire them? I sure do. I remember years ago, I mean like maybe 10 years ago, my oldest son was playing in a Christian band at that time, and it was Gospel Music Association Week, GMA Week, down in Nashville, which is sort of like the Grammy Awards for Christian music, okay? And so I went down there, and one of the things that happens during that GMA Week is not just a lot of bands trying to sell themselves. There are a few smart people who are saying, hey, for a week, all these Christian musicians are going to be in one place. We need to recruit them to work for us. And one of the places that does this better than anybody is Compassion International. And Compassion International, they'll have a dinner and they'll invite like 100 of these very well-known musicians and say, we want you to spend 3 hours with us. We're going to have a meal. We're going to pray. And then our director is going to tell you about what we're doing and how you can get involved. Well, I went to that 1 year, and I went with Mark Stewart, who was the lead singer in Audio Adrenaline, and I went to that. And as we sat there during that meal, Mark hardly ate. He was so wrapped up into the program. Rich Mullen's family was there, and they talked about some stuff, and then the director of Compassion International was there, and his story was unbelievable and beautiful, and he was very powerful in communicating needs. And as we left that building, Mark and I were walking from this building downtown to another building 3 or 4 blocks away downtown. And as we walked down the street, Mark was really quiet. And then he just looked at me and he said, was that powerful or what? And I said, yeah, it was really powerful. And you know what his next thing was? That's what I want to be. That is what I want to do. See, because when you see generosity, not just in action, not just ready to be generous, not just willing, but when you see this eagerness, this zeal for it, it's contagious. It gets you. So if I want to be eager toward selflessness, eager toward service, eager toward using my gifts for the Lord, eager to give of my possessions to the Lord, it would probably make sense for me to hang around other people who are already eager. Because good company uplifts your personal character. There's a flip side of that in the Bible. There's another way you can say that. But it's just as true for the good stuff as it is for the bad. Bad company corrupts good morals. Eager, generous company, that's contagious. It uplifts mediocrity. It takes us out of mediocrity and says, I want to be that too. That's a mystery picture. Pay no attention to that picture. The last thing is being intentional. Intentional generosity. And a phrase that I like a lot is this phrase. It's not just true about spiritual things. It's true about just anything in life. If you aim at nothing, you'll probably hit it. Most of the good stuff we get, you know, people talk about good intentions and it gets a bad rap. He had good intentions. You know, like the only people who have good intentions are failures. What I've noticed is all the people who do good things, they have good intentions too. Most of the people who are successful in living a life of generous, selfless service are people who made an effort to live that way. They are intentional about it. They aimed to be generous. In verse 5, Paul writes, he says, I thought it was necessary to urge the brothers. He says, I know you promised, I know you were eager, but I thought it'd be necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance to finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. You know, we're kind of casual here. I read a great G.K. Chesterton quote this week. He said, any religion worth having is a religion that can laugh at itself. So can I have a little, I'm not trying to be irreverent here, but I just sort of hear Marlon Brando's voice. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements. I mean, it sounds like it's from a script from The Godfather or something. Guido, send over the brothers so they can finish the arrangements, you know? I don't want you to hear that, even though I pointed it out. The point I want to get to is that there were arrangements, that there's a plan. And we're going to see this as we go through chapter 9. Paul is very specific. He's got very practical ways. He says, if you want to be successful in living a generous life, you're probably going to have to plan toward it. You're going to have a strategy for being generous. Because have you noticed that it's always easiest to share when you are prepared to share? I mean, there's times where I've had to share or give where I didn't have anything, and I was willing to, but sometimes it sort of felt like, wow, this is just too much, but hey, okay, I'll do it. But you know when I've really had joy in giving? It's when I've been setting this money aside to give. I've been preparing to give. And it's a joy to let it go because that's what I've been doing. I've been preparing for that. You see, he says we should finish the arrangements because he says, I don't want us to get there and then you're not ready and then it turns into something you're doing grudgingly. I want you to be ready so it could just be pure joy as you give. And so one of the ideas about that I get from that verse is that an intentional plan to give and serve makes it easier to do so with joy. You know, I've seen people who say, that Saturday that we go do Feed My Starving Children, I just plan for that. I budget for that. That's my thing that day. And we probably need more people who would be willing to do that. And probably a lot of us are saying, I'd like to. I'm interested in it. I'm willing to. But I just have so much stuff to get done. That's right. Your Saturdays are going to be full. There's no way you're going to be free to work on making meals for starving children on a Saturday spontaneously. You're going to have to say, that's my appointment that day. That's my life that day. I set it aside. I have made an arrangement so that that's what I do. And that's true of everything. People who want to give. People, you know, if you want your home to be something used by God, you might want to prepare your home that you're willing to let anybody come to it. You might have to have something ready. You might want to have some food on hand so that you can, you know, the people who can be spontaneous are the people who are prepared. That's the irony of it. You see, generosity is more often arranged than spontaneous. And I've noticed that the more I plan, the more spontaneous I can be. You know, sometimes in a former life, I used to make a living as a musician. And some people still think of me as a musician. And once in a while, they'll call me up and they'll say, can you do a song for this? Or can you write a soundtrack for this or that? And it's just, for now, it's just fun. It's like an unexpected fun thing to do. And sometimes, even though I would be willing to pay to do it, they pay me. And I go, free money. And so what I do is I take a part of that money, whenever it comes in like that, and I go, that's just a bonus gift waiting to happen. And I put it aside. And sometimes Sherry and I, we have money put aside. We don't know who it's for yet. We don't know what that's going to go for. We don't know if it's going to be one of you with a knee. We don't know if it's going to be somebody going on a missions trip. We don't know if it's going to be something we read about in the paper. We don't know what it is. But we can be ready. And so because we're prepared, because we're thinking ahead, I want to live a generous life because that's how we're planning to live. We can be spontaneous. If you don't plan for that, it's just like that Saturday. The money doesn't just, you don't hear about a need and go, wow, it sure be great if I had $500 to give to that right now. Oh, look, $500. That's not how it works, is it? Usually, if I have $100 sitting around, I've been guarding it and talking myself out of touching it. Maybe you're that way too. All I'm saying is that generosity is not something that just happens. You might have a generous spirit, and I've met many a person with a generous spirit. If only I had the means, they say. And I think, well, maybe if you planned, not only would you have a generous spirit, you'd be ready. So, some simple principles for us today. Learning intentionality is something we do. I heard a thing last week on the radio. It was a program about how do you teach your kids to be financially responsible, to understand money and to be financially responsible. And it was kind of funny because a caller called in, and when the caller shared her advice, the people who were hosting the show were just dropped dead in their tracks and said, that's the best advice I've ever heard. So the caller had a really great idea. And here's what the caller said. She said, when my kids got to high school age, we had a couple of days every month where we paid the bills, and it was their job to pay the bills. We had the family checkbook and the water bill when it came in. They wrote the check to the water company. And they wrote the check to the mortgage company. And they wrote the check for this and that. And it was impossible for them to not know that stuff costs money. And when we didn't have money to pay for it, they were at the table and we were talking with them about who are we not going to pay this week? What should we pay first? So she said, just by, instead of teaching them like with a book or a class, we just made them get in and roll up their sleeves and do it. And I think maybe that's how generosity is learned too. She didn't say this on the program, but I wondered if she would have said, and when we get our paycheck, we take out a certain amount and we write it and we give it to this charity or to this church or to this program or whatever. Because generosity is not something that, you know, the generosity fairy doesn't come and bing, you're generous. It's learned behavior. In fact, it's a behavior that you won't ever have if you don't unlearn a lot of selfish and careless behavior. And so we need to be intentional, not only about how we live, but how do we pass on? How do we nurture? How do we teach our friends, our family, our loved ones, our kids how to be generous? It's done intentionally. So I want an eagerness to serve. And so I'm asking myself, what do I care about? And what could I do that would stir up more caring in me? Because the more I care, the more eager I am to get involved. You know, when I hear somebody talk about World Outreach Week or talk about our missions, our missionary to Rwanda, that's all fine. But it's not as good as when I read the update and I see, oh, the Jenkins family, they have a name in Rwanda, just adopted a little boy into their home, and they're taking, and their daughter just graduated. Suddenly, I know more. And I find myself accidentally caring more. The next thing I know, I'm going to be eager. The more you can do to get involved and to actually know people by name, and to have, when we have a community action emphasis or a youth program, You know, when you go out, there's going to be kids today selling brats and things for a missions trip. And you can just hand over money and you can just get a brat and call that good. Or you could say, tell me your name. Why are you going on this missions trip? Are you going? What are you hoping to learn? You know, you could actually get involved. And instead of it just being letting go of a fiver, it'd be actually cultivating care and interest. Hence, eagerness. Also, we want to be inspired and we want to inspire others because enthusiasm is contagious. So we should be saying, who do I know who I think of as a generous, caring, involved person? Chances are, if you hang around them, it'll start rubbing off on you. And finally, the idea that to be generous isn't just a matter of attitude, it's actually a matter of means. And if I am going to have the means to be generous, I'm going to have to say, I set aside a day. I set aside some money. I set aside, I have a plan for finding ways that my abilities and my possessions and my being can make a difference in the lives of others. When you have a plan, you'll find yourself being more generous than you are without one. I think it could be done. It's kind of practical, isn't it? I hope something has clicked this morning that you think, yeah, I think I can take it up a notch. I don't just have to be willing or ready. I could actually be enthusiastic about this. I could have some pronto added to the mix. Let's pray. Lord, I think of Jesus, who was so ready, so willing, even eager to reach out to us and to help us. And I think of so many people in this world who follow Jesus and love Jesus, who have modeled for me, shown me how beautiful a life of eagerness toward generosity can be. And Father, I want that to rub off on me. In fact, I want, Father, to become such a generous person that I'm helping others become generous as well. And so, Father, use this word, implant it in our hearts. Help it to shape us and change us and lift us so that your will would be done, that you would be glorified by all we are, all we have, and all we can do. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. Have a great week. I hope it starts with some outdoor stuff today.